I'll be brief tonight. I want us to focus our hearts and minds on the one who is speaking these words in Matthew, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He's a personification of truth. He is the head of His New Testament church. And I believe that the Lord Jesus started His church, His kind of church, during His earthly ministry. And He is addressing them here in verse 13. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, His followers, those who were enrolled as learners in Christ's school. That's what a disciple is. Saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that Thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." So there was talk among the people in Israel regarding the life and the ministry, the works, the miracles of the Lord Jesus Christ. They recognized that He was exalted in some measure, in some degree. But they didn't know precisely who He was. He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter, he was often the first one to speak up. He answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Son of the living God." What a confession from this old Baptist preacher, this fisherman. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." His confession was accurate. And Jesus is confirming that. But notice what Jesus said. It was not to Peter's credit, but to God's credit. He was the one that revealed to Peter that, yes, Jesus Christ, He is the anointed of God. He is the appointed Lamb of God. He is the Messiah. He is the eternally begotten Son of God. He is the one sent by the Father. And you know, if you tonight, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ, if you believe that He died for your sins on the cross, that He gave His life and He shed His blood for you, that He was buried and that He was in the tomb for 3 days and nights, and that He rose again and that He's alive forevermore. If you believe the gospel message, it's only because God has revealed it to you. Because you don't know that by nature. You don't know the power of the gospel the way you normally are as a sinner. It takes the revelation from Almighty God. And the Lord commended and said, "Peter, you're blessed in that confession." In verse 8, notice Jesus says God is His Father. He's equal with the Father. "And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build My church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now we know Peter, Petros, little stone. All right? Peter is not the rock in which the church was built on. We'd be in sore trouble today if the church was built on a cussing fisherman who denied the Lord 3 times. Now, all of that was in the plan and purpose of God, but please don't fall into the Catholic trap that Peter is some exalted man that the church is built on, and that when the Pope sits ex cathedra, supposedly on the throne of Peter, he speaks infallibly. That's nonsense. I think Jesus was saying, "Thou art Peter, upon this rock." Jesus Christ is the rock upon which the church is built. He is the chief cornerstone. He said, "I will build my church, the one that I will buy with my blood, the one that I will promise perpetuity and succession to, the one in whom I will entrust the great commission and the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper to be observed until I come again. It's my church. It's not Calvin's. It's not the Pope's. It's not Martin Luther or Alexander Campbell or John Wesley. No, the institution that he founded during his earthly ministry was his church. It is his church. I will build my church. He is the foundation. He is the head. He is the Savior of the body. It's his church. It belongs to him. And because it belongs to him, I can guarantee you, it never has and never will go out of existence. And he promises that in this passage, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And later on, when he gave this church that he founded, started during his earthly ministry, when he gave them the Great Commission, he said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. That means, so shall it be. Now, I believe that this is what we would today identify as a New Testament Baptist church that believed that Jesus Christ was their head. They believed in salvation by grace. They believed in the authority of the Holy Scriptures. They believed that the new birth was a work of the Holy Spirit, that repentance and faith were gifts of God, that salvation was all of grace, that only believers could be baptized, and they were baptized into a local, visible body, assembly, church. Jesus is talking here. The one that we are remembering tonight as the head of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church. You see, in our lineage, we go all the way back to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't have a history book that can prove that. I don't have a human history book with detailed records that prove that, but I believe it with all my heart. Because he said it. In fact, I'd like to see a history book that absolutely takes you all the way back to the shores of Galilee. I'm sure that there have been many that have tried to produce that. But I think of just our church, all the records that either haven't been taken or have been lost, misplaced. That happens in Baptist churches all through the ages, especially ones that were persecuted. I believe in Baptist perpetuity. I believe that Jesus started His church and that there will be true His kind of church until He comes again. And we're part of that lineage, part of that succession. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Now that's kind of perplexing to me. But Jesus had a purpose in everything he said. Verse 21, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. This was all planned. Jesus knew from the foundation of the world the precise timing that all of this would take place. He knew who would kill him, when he would die, why he would die. It was all precisely set in motion by the eternal decree of the Father in the covenant of grace. Jesus is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. This was on purpose. And Peter didn't understand that. He had just given a great affirmation. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Oh boy, that's serious right there. A sinner rebuking the Savior. Saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Peter didn't know what Jesus knew. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Anybody that wanted to stop this work from happening, they're of the devil. Anybody who denies the incarnation, the perfect life, the sacrificial death, its necessity of a blood atonement to make reconciliation and to bring about propitiation, anyone who denies that, that's of the devil. It's not of God. And Jesus makes that clear. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. That is offensive. To think, Peter, that you could somehow thwart the purpose, the plan of my Father, of Almighty God. He said, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. See, the things that be of God. The sacrificial work of Jesus Christ is all of God. His life, His ministry, His death on the cross, His suffering in our stead, every moment that He spent on the cross bearing our sins, bearing the punishment of those sins, that was all of God. He was appointed by the Father. And Satan, Peter, men, devils could not turn that purpose away. These are the things that be of God. And Jesus knew it, and He's trying to express this to these disciples who are ignorant. These are things beyond their comprehension at this point in their lives. But the death of our Lord had been planned. It had been prophesied all the way through the Old Testament. It was portrayed by types and shadows. All of the worship of the tabernacle and the temple, all the furniture, all the sacrifices, all of the clothing that the priest wore, everything pointed to the Lamb who would be revealed to take away the sins of the world. And it's also promised by Christ Himself right here. He knew He was going to be killed. He knew He was going to be murdered. Now what if you knew you were going to be killed? You would probably try to figure out a way to avoid that, to prevent it. Our Lord set His face as a flint, and He went right into the battle because He loved you. Knowing full well everything He would have to suffer because of you, because of me. He's the most important person in all the world. And He willingly laid down His life for us. It shouldn't be hard for us to think deeply tonight about our great Savior and about His great work on our behalf. It ought to thrill our hearts as we partake of the bread and the wine and we remember our Lord. Let's do so with the right kind of focus, with a heart that's set upon Him in love and consecration and thanksgiving. Because these are the things that be of God. And He's included us in that. Okay, if all the members would go into the middle pew there.